There's a famous quote that says, "There is nothing more important than doing the work that you are meant to do in the world." And I feel like that really sums up our next guest's journey. Whether this is your first time listening to the Nova Scotia SBCA podcast, or you are a loyal listener who never misses an episode, welcome. My name is Taylor Hustis, and we're super duper excited that you're here with us. I've always adored animals, but I didn't know that there were opportunities to help aside from becoming a vet. So when I was younger and someone asked me what I wanted to do whenever I grew up, I always answered that I wanted to be an ice cream scooper. I know. My reasoning? Well, ice cream always made people happy, and I wanted to do something that would bring that same level of joy. It is always so interesting to see where life takes you, though. While I worked with other charities and lived in different parts of Canada, there was always one thing that was similar. I'd visit the local animal shelter and try to fundraise or help out. So much so that whenever I started with the SBCA 7 years ago, my family and friends all agreed that I had finally found my place. And that is actually exactly what happened with our guest, Jenna Bear, as well. In 2022, Jenna graduated from St. Mary's University with a degree in criminology, but she didn't feel like it was her calling. So she started searching for schools and programs to help pets and stumbled upon the Nova Scotia SBCA College of Animal Welfare. Not only did Jenna just graduate from our veterinary assistant program with high honors, amazing, but she also graduated as the class valedictorian and accepted a job with Tartan Tails Veterinary Hospital. Podcast listeners, you are in for a real treat today. But before we get into the fun, thank you for being with us here today, Jenna. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Amazing. Is this your very first podcast?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Well, we're in for some excitement, that's for sure. And I know talking into a mic can sometimes be a little bit funky to start. So we're going to get loosey-goosey with a game first, and it's called Go Fetch. Okay. So basically, this is just our fun lightning round where I'm going to ask you a few questions so we can learn a little bit more about what makes you you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be really loud. Here it goes.
Okay.
Whoa, there it goes. Okay, so number one, who was your first pet?
Oh, my first pet, my first pet that I adopted myself, her name was Binks. She was from an SBCA in New Brunswick. That was my very first pet. And then now I have, of course, two other pets to go along with that. So,
yes.
But Binks was my first. Yeah.
Cute.
She was a cat.
And how did you come up with the name Binks?
It was the name that was, well, I mean, Hocus Pocus, like the movie Hocus Pocus,
oh,
is like
okay.
One of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
So when I went to the shelter to adopt a cat, Binks was always the name that I had in mind. But when we showed up, they actually already had a cat that was there that was named Binks. And then when I met her and fell in love, like immediately. So I just adopted her and kept the name. And
oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Really meant to be moment,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So number two, if animals could talk, who do you think would be the rudest?
I would probably have to go with cat. Mainly, I know that's sort of the normal answer to go with, but I have two cats of my own, and I feel like if they could talk to me, it would probably be rude. I love them, and I'm sure they love me, but
yeah,
they would probably be the rudest.
Be a little sassy.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And they can be. Because
oh, yeah.
They're so cute.
Yeah, I'll allow it. They go right ahead.
Yes. Okay, and on the flip side, who do you think would be the nicest?
I would probably have to go with a dog, specifically thinking like a golden retriever, like those kinds of like breeds.
Right.
It's like the ones that just like immediately when they see you, they roll on their tummy and they're like, hey, you can go ahead and you can basically do whatever you want. Those ones would definitely be the nicest.
Yes. Have you met my pup Hazel?
I have not.
Oh my gosh. You gotta meet Hazel. She's exactly like that. Okay. And number three, you are such a champion for pets. So who is your hero?
So my hero would probably have to be my parents, just because like the constant love and support that they have given me, like ever since I grew up in New Brunswick and they're still in New Brunswick. So they're a little ways away from me now still. So like just the constant phone calls and like the video calls and like the support that when I said, oh, I want to move to Nova Scotia and pursue my career there and everything. It was of course you can do anything that you put your mind to. And it was just the support that they give me is wonderful.
Oh, that's so
I
beautiful.
Couldn't ask for anything better. Yeah.
Yeah. It really does make a difference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever you have that support system, just saying, you know what, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay. Amazing. That was Go Fetch. Here it goes. Squeak, squeak. Okay. So, Jenna, I know you had a start very similar to mine. Mm-hmm. You've been a lifelong animal lover, but you didn't realize that this was something that you could actually pursue. So looking back, where do you think your love of animals comes from?
Well, I mean, growing up, we always had an animal in the house, be it a cat, a dog. We had hermit crabs at one point. We had so many hamsters. I just, like, we always had animals. And I just, the amount, like, of love and, like, comfort that I found when, like, playing with them or just, like, even just, like, cuddling up on the couch or whatever. Like, if I was having a rough day and, like, you know, I couldn't really, like, do anything, I would just go and, like, find one of my pets and just cuddle with them and, like, love them. And the love that I would receive back from them, it made me just fall in love even more. And I didn't know that, like, much like you, I figured, like, oh, the vet industry, you're either a vet or you're a vet tech.
Yeah.
There isn't really anything else that you could do with that. And I'm not really all for, like, the being a VA is a lot more my speed than being, like, a veterinarian or a vet tech. So finding this program and coming into here is just something that I didn't think that I would do, but I'm glad that I found it.
Yeah, no, absolutely amazing. And I completely agree with you on that too, because I remember whenever I was like, oh, maybe I could be a vet. And then my mom was like, you cry every single time you get a needle,
yeah,
or anything. Like, I don't think you could, maybe,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. Can you get over your fear of needles? I still haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But congratulations are definitely in order. Your family must be so proud, and you should be proud of all of your hard work. It must have been a really hard decision to decide to go back to school, but reflecting back on it, what would you say is the main motivation to pursue this career path?
Well, when I came out of, like, high school, straight out of high school, I went straight into university. Like, I graduated in that July, and in September, I was in a different province doing my degree in criminology. And once I like, doing it, I really enjoyed it, and coming out of it, I don't regret it at all. But it wasn't, just thinking back on it, it wasn't something that, like, I could see myself doing in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I didn't know that until I was, like, pretty well graduated from that point. And then how it always works out is you're pretty well graduated, and then you decide, well, you know, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah.
But being, like, seeing the SPCA and knowing, like, because of course there were SPCAs in New Brunswick where I grew up and everything, and just seeing them and seeing the, like, support that they give and the, like, the amount of help that they provide to, like, animals in need and all that stuff, I kind of, when I saw that the SPCA was doing, like, a college program, I just sort of knew that that was something that I needed to do. And that sort of is where my motivation to come into, like, the vet field or the vet industry came from, just because it's, like, seeing it and knowing that you would be able to help and make a difference was really what motivated me.
Yeah. And I mean, we would love to keep you here forever. But the good thing about it too is that it is something that you can do anywhere.
Exactly.
Right? Because
yeah,
there is such a need and demand for it,
yeah,
all across Canada right now. But yeah, can you describe what drew you to the Nova Scotia SPCA College of Animal Welfare specifically?
Yeah. So when I was, of course, looking and, you know, going through the schools and trying to figure out where I was going to, like, go to, and I noticed that a lot of the schools were, like, vet tech or, like, vet or stuff like that. And much like you, I'm not, like, I'm okay with needles. Like, you know, I have a lot of tattoos. I know that's not the same thing as, like, getting your blood drawn or anything, but, like, needles wasn't really what spooked me. It was, I guess, administering, like, that sort of
right
thing is the kind of thing that I didn't really care for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, looking at it, I was like, you know, I don't really want to do, like, the vet tech. And then I found, when I saw the SPCA, it was a familiar name to,
yeah,
me. So I saw it and I was like, oh, you know, like, I'm gonna look into that. So I clicked on it, of course, and looked,
mm-hmm,
in, and I saw the vet assistant, and it was like, when I looked at all of the courses that they offered and all of the modules, just going through it, I was like, yeah, this is the kind of thing that's interesting. This is the kind of thing that is going to make, like, is what makes me want to pursue being a vet assistant. Because when I think of, like, vet tech, or, like, not to, you know, like, they're wonderful and we can't do anything without them.
Yeah.
But being, like, the VA and being in a less, like, medical
right
role and more, like, personal, like, taking care of the pets and the people and all that stuff was more of what I was drawn to. So looking at the courses and the modules and stuff from the SPCA college is really what made me go, yeah, this is this is the school that I want to go to.
It just seemed like a perfect fit for
exactly.
you.
Yeah.
Love that. And one thing that we're really proud of is the fact that we have a hospital and a shelter right
yeah.
beside the college. So it really allows students to have that real hands-on training. Did you feel like this helped to kind of prepare you for the real world situation?
Absolutely. Having the shelter and the hospital literally like the next door over where you
yeah.
could even just hear what they were doing in the other room was like extremely helpful because there was no surprises.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of like, we're going to tell you exactly what you're going to face
yeah.
and how to deal with what you're going to face. So when you do end up facing it, you'll know exactly what to do. So having like the hospital and having the shelter and just being like, yeah, we're going to do our rotations and you're going to go and you're going to sit in the hospital and you're going to watch the operations and you're going to participate and you're going to help them, you know, because if this is what you want to do in your career, this is going to be the best way to help prepare you for that.
Yeah.
So it was, and it was awesome. Like,
yeah,
I have nothing bad to say. It was really an enjoyable experience.
Yeah. And it's almost like the opposite I found because I did a business degree.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you probably felt the same way with your
yeah.
criminology degree, that it's almost like the opposite of that.
Yeah.
But like,
you come out of it and you're like, okay, like I have so much
knowledge. Yeah.
But like, how am I supposed to apply this? So
yeah.
like when at the hospital and everything, you have all this knowledge and you go in and everybody at the hospital is wonderful and they're so helpful and they're so like teaching and they like, as soon as you get down there, they're like, oh, you guys are students. Wonderful. Come over here. I'm going to take you under my wing and I'm going to show you exactly what you need to know. And if you have any questions, do not be afraid to ask. We will make sure that you get the answers.
Awesome.
So.
Love that. And what would you say are some of like the key skills or knowledge areas that you feel like you really developed during the diploma program?
I think a lot of it had to do with like the restraint of animals, because
mm-hmm.
of course, you know, like you hug your pets and
yeah.
you love on them and all this sort of stuff. But when you, especially if they're in, because you know, a vet hospital for a pet can be a pretty scary place, and
absolutely.
They're not, you know, they're not the same personality in your home as they are in, you know, a vet hospital. So knowing the body language and of the cats, both cats and dogs, if you're doing like companion animals, knowing the body languages was a huge help, because some things, like you see pictures on the internet of the dogs with like the great big eyes and you look at them
yeah.
and you're like, oh, that's so sweet. They're, you know, that's so fun. They're having a blast. But then, you know, you learn and you're like, actually, wait, that's not what's happening at all. They're actually quite scared. Kind of thing. So knowing that is
mm-hmm.
very helpful when going into it, because like, especially in like a clinic setting, because you can go in and you can see, okay, this, they're not giving me like positive body language. So I'm
yeah.
not, I'm just going to back off and I'm going to let them calm down and give them lots of treats and reinforcement and everything. So like the body language, that was really helpful. And like restraint techniques of like making sure like your hands and your placement is perfect, because you know, that's going to like lessen injuries and
yeah.
it's gonna like not
keeps
only
them safe.
Keep you safe, but
yeah.
keep the pet safe as well, which is really, really helpful
yeah.
to know.
No, absolutely. No, I feel like you hit it right on the head there about like how pets, they can't speak, but they
yeah.
are actually talking to you through their body language,
yeah.
right? So the little quirks and like little things
mm-hmm.
that they do, like they're telling you exactly how they're feeling in that
yeah.
moment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing that I really love about the Nova Scotia SPCA College of Animal Welfare is the optimal small class sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that this helped you at all?
It definitely did. Also coming from university and doing like first year courses where you have hundreds of people in your classes, like there's no like personal connection with the
right.
instructor. Sure, you can go up and you can speak to them, but you can go up and speak to them. Hi, my name's Jenna. You know, and you do that whole thing. And then tomorrow they won't even know who you are. Not because they don't care, but just because there's so many people around.
Totally.
But it like our class was like, what, 19 students, which was extremely helpful, because not only could you form the personal connections with your classmates, you could
mm-hmm.
also form them with your instructors. And it was a lot easier because you walk in and your instructor would know exactly who you are. And like it was a lot, like one-on-one was definitely a lot more helpful than if the sizes were like huge.
Yeah,
so.
You're not getting like lost in the background.
Exactly.
And you're like, what's going
yeah.
on here?
Yeah.
yeah. No, I feel you. And I know that whenever I look back on my business degree at Munn and my nonprofit leadership program at NSCC, I have some teachers that really kind of stand out as being super influential. Mm-hmm. Here at the Nova Scotia SPCA College of Animal Welfare, the teachers are real veterinarians,
yeah.
RVTs, and VAs. So do you feel like you had any mentors or instructors who had a significant impact on your education? And how do you think that they influenced you?
I think Barb, of course, she's, I feel like
she's
for,
wonderful.
Yeah, for our class, she's a lot of people's like mentor, and she's a lot of the, she's just so like personable, and she's so like, she's so sweet, and she's so nice, and she just has that personality where you feel like you can just tell her anything. You find yourself talking to her, and then you find yourself, you know, kind of like trailing off into whatever, and you're like, oh, you know, then you kind of get in that headspace of, I don't know why I'm saying these things to you. Like, and so it's just the, and she's always so helpful. Like, she's like an RBT, and like, she is right on the ball. She knows, I like to think she knows everything, but she, like, any question, and even if she didn't know the answer, it was like, oh, that's a great question, and I'm so glad you asked me that question. I will find out for you as soon as possible. And she'd write it down, and then within an hour or two, you would get an email being like, hey, this question was mentioned. This is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
If you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to reach out.
Yeah.
So she was extremely helpful in my journey through the year.
Oh yeah. I mean, we just see her around here, and she's just like a ball of sunshine,
but
you're right. Like she really wants to, like, she's an amazing teacher, but she also is like a lifelong learner.
Mm-hmm.
So she loves learning new things. And so if you ever ask her something, I'm always asking her about my own pets. And so she always is like, oh, I found out about this. And I'm like, thank you so much, Barbara. You're the best.
You.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. So the Veterinary Assistant Program is a 1-year program.
Mm-hmm.
It is jam-packed full of information. And I'm sure that you had some really fun days, but also some hard days too. So what would you say was the most challenging part of your training, and how did you overcome it?
Probably, I would think the most challenging part would definitely have been, I know that this is kind of like a like a cliche thing to say, but like exam days were really difficult.
Yep.
If we're talking in that sense, like exam, like I don't do exams really well. I get extremely anxious when it comes to exams.
Yeah.
And like even the lead up, like the week to the, it's just like a big ball of nerves. Like there was just like, and there was nothing really that anybody could do to sort of alleviate those nerves until the exam was done. Like as soon as the exam was done, it was like a giant weight was lifted off my shoulder. But like, to prepare, like you are so prepared for these exams. Like we of course do the brainscapes, and we do like the like extremely like detailed review days before the exam and everything. So there's like, you're extremely prepared for what you're about to like sit through, but it's just like, you know, those days were quite tough because of my own anxiety and just like the nerves that I felt.
But I mean, you performed amazingly.
Yeah.
High honors. That's fantastic.
I would call my parents, be like, oh, you know, like I have an exam coming up, and you know, I'm so nervous, and I'm so like, oh, what if I don't do well? Like all this.
Yeah.
And they're on the other line, like, you always do well. Like, don't, why are you even worrying about it? Like, you will do fine. We know that you will. And that was very helpful too. In just being like, okay, you know, you're right. Like, I probably shouldn't worry this much, but it's still quite spooky.
Oh, absolutely.
Thing.
But I mean, also the fact that you were worrying about it showed that you cared about it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. So now for the fun stuff, can you share like a memorable experience or a moment that made you feel especially proud during your studies?
Yeah, I think the rotations were definitely extremely memorable experience, just because you got to go around to the hospitals. And we went to like the shelter, of course, like the SPCA shelter, but we also went to like Bidewile.
Right.
And that was a brand new place that we had never been to. Well, I mean, like the school had never been to before, kind of deal. So it was nice to be able to see the whole, like all of the different sides. It wasn't just like, okay, here's 4 hospitals.
Right.
Go, this is, cause everybody's going to want to go to a hospital kind of thing. It was there, here's a hospital, here's a shelter, here's the emergency, here's this. So you kind of got a little taste of each thing. And then from there, you could branch out and go, you know, maybe the clinic setting isn't exactly what's for me. It's the shelter or it's the emergency. I want to work in the emergency medicine side of things. So the rotations were quite memorable. But also the field trips were also really memorable.
Love a field trip.
It's just you get to go out and hang out with your friends and learn about like fun animals and learn about like, we go to the farms and we go to, we went to Hope for Wildlife, which was really interesting to get to see like all the wild animals and how they care for the sick and the injured animals there and everything. And it's just to go with your like best friends and just sort of hang out and learn about fun stuff was really memorable. Yeah.
Well, and it brings that textbook learning to real life
too,
right?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's the best way to learn. Okay. So for people who might be listening and thinking, wait, I think that this program could be a perfect fit for me. Now that you've graduated and accepted a job as a veterinary assistant, congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you describe a typical day in the life of a VA and how your training has helped prepare you for it?
Yeah, so a typical day would probably look a lot like, depending on the hospital here, you would either be in like surgery or you would go and do like appointments and like wellness. So if you were looking at like a surgery day, you're looking at, you know, you show up and you set up the surgery room and you get everything ready for when the doctors come in to do their surgeries, and you do your intakes of your patients, and that's where you kind of form that first personal connection with the
right.
clients, because you go out and you introduce yourself and you ask the questions and say like, hey, like, we're going to take super good care of your pets. And a lot of the times the clients are quite like a little bit frazzled, especially just because they don't really know what's going to happen. So you sort of like assure them, like, don't worry, we're going to take the best care of your pets and we will let you know, like, if anything pops up, like any concerns or anything, we will definitely give you a call and let you know about any of that. So you sort of intake the pets there. And then after that, you would help prep them and like get the surgery, help the surgery go smoothly, and then call them and say, you know, your pet did wonderful. They're wonderful. We love them. You're ready to come pick them up. And then you can go, they show up. And then again, you have that last point of contact where you're like, your pet did great. They're wonderful. And here you go. We have successfully like helped keep you guys together longer, kind of thing. But if you're looking at like the appointment side of things, you're looking at like, you're also forming the personal connections and everything with the clients, but you're doing it more of like, your pet's in for like vaccines or like a general wellness exam kind of deal. And you just get to go in and you get to sort of like ask the questions and get to know the client and the patient and form like a connection there and just
form that trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I think it's amazing though, that you touched on the fact that a lot of families, whenever they drop off their pets, like they're feeling like the stress.
Yeah.
And I know that that's definitely me whenever I bring my pets to the vet, is that I'm always like, oh yes, they're so stressed. And then I'm like, wait, I think it might just be me that's the stressed one.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing. But I know that the holdup for some animal lovers is that they might be thinking that it might be too hard emotionally mm-hmm. to treat and care for pets. But the beautiful thing about the VA program at the Nova Scotia SPCA College of Animal Welfare is that the teachers do put an emphasis on mental health training
yes.
to prevent that burnout. So how do you feel like the program addressed the emotional aspects of working with animals and the people who love them?
Mm-hmm. I think they did a really good job at sort of tackling that mm-hmm. sort of side of things, because it's not something that a lot of people want to like talk about, and it's not like a wildly like open thing. So to have like, we had days where it was literally like, we're going to talk about this all day long. This is what we're going to talk about, and we're going to learn how to like deal with that. And it was never a surprise. Like, we were always told these days specifically, we're going to be talking about sort of, you know, a little bit more heavy things.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you ever need to step out, like if you're ever uncomfortable, if you ever need to step out, like feel free, do not feel like you have to sit and, you know, listen to something that you don't want to listen to, kind of
right.
thing. Which was extremely, you know, was extremely nice. And just the way that they said that this is just some of the things that you're going to deal with if you, you know, go into a clinic setting or a shelter setting or anything like that. This is what you might face, but this is how you can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
These are the steps that you can take to deal with that. If you're ever in an uncomfortable situation and you can't handle it, nobody is going to be upset with you. Nobody's going to like yell or scream and freak out at you because you step up and say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this situation. I think I'm going to have to take a step back. Like, the entire vet industry, because the amount of burnout and the compassion
mm-hmm.
fatigue is so high, everybody sort of in the vet industry is a lot, like, they understand
Absolutely.
That not everybody is going to be okay with everything, and that's okay. So if you ever, like, need to step out, or if you're uncomfortable with something, or, like, if a pet that comes in looks a lot similar to a pet that you
mm-hmm.
maybe have lost earlier, and you just say to yourself, today is not my day, I don't think I'm going to be able to deal with this. Just stepping back and, you know, saying, hey, sorry, guys, I'm not going to be able to do this today. Maybe so-and-so can step in is, like, perfectly okay. And a really, like, reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, and that the support is there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're never alone. Like,
yeah.
Then that was something that was stressed, that was very stressed, was that you're never alone in anything. You can ask anybody anything. Like, if you're feeling any sort of mental health issue or anything like that, reach out, and there are people that will help you. Like,
yeah. It's important to talk about that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because you never know what people are going through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yes, so another one of the unique things, I guess, in addition to that, about the Nova Scotia SBCA College of Animal Welfare is that every student gets to experience an internship.
Yes.
Yes. So this is an 160-hour internship at an animal welfare business of the student's choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of allows you to experience working while also still having that guidance and support,
yeah,
of a mentoring structure. So some students chose like shelters or doggy daycares. What was your internship experience like?
Mine was great. I have nothing negative to say. I did mine at the Tartan Tails Veterinary Hospital, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Everybody that was there, I did it with two others, but everybody that was there was so helpful, and they were so willing to teach you.
Yes.
Like, there were a couple instances where there were, like, if it wasn't, like, super, super busy at that time, they'd be like, go put on, like, a mask and a cap and come on into surgery, like, and you can watch the surgery. And, like, you know, if it's something that, specifically something that interests you, they would be like, yeah, absolutely, come on over and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And just learn. And they would be so willing to tell you anything. Even if you weren't even asking, you could just be sort of, like, peeking around, and they'd see you peeking and be like, oh, like, come on over, and, like, this is this part, and, like, this is how you do this and all that sort of stuff. Or if you were, like, ever concerned about anything, they were always there to, like, help you. So, like, a lot, at least for me, a lot of the times, talking to people in person is super easy. Like, that's totally fine. But when it comes to making phone calls, that's the thing with me that sort of gets me. So, and of course, you know, being a VA, there's a lot of phone calls involved. So when they finally were like, okay, everybody, like, you guys are going to call these clients, and you're going to, like, do, like, either the post-op, or you're going to tell them this is the time that they can come and pick up their pet after surgery. They were right there with you. It was never, here's the phone, have a great day, you know, figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, here's like a little script that you can say if you're, like, super nervous about it. Here's, like, the phone number. And they would sit next to you, and they would be like, if you need to put them on hold, just be like, hey, that's a great question. Let me, you know, let me go find out for you, put them on hold, and then we'll figure it out. Like, and if there's anything, even if, like, there were times where you're in the middle of a phone call and then you're like, okay, I'm just going to put you on hold. And then you're like, I don't think I can do this. And they're like, that's totally fine. And then they
will pick it
take
up.
Over.
Yeah.
So it was just, they were just extremely helpful. And there was never a day that I was down there where I felt like anybody was leaving me on my own. Like, there was always something, like, if they, even if you were, like, a little bit sort of lost in what you were supposed to do, somebody would find you and be like, do you have a task or something? And you're like, no, I don't really. And they're like, come with me. Like, we'll get you going. And it was a great experience.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. So overall, would you say that you'd recommend the veterinary assistant program at the Nova Scotia SBCA College of Animal Welfare?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend it. I think the instructors, like Barb, Jen, even sometimes we would have, like, Dr. Mike West would come over from the hospital and he would teach us some stuff, and he's wonderful. He's a wonderful teacher as well. I think that the atmosphere and, like, just the whole environment and what you're learning is so, like, relevant to what you will be experiencing in clinics or in shelters or anything. It's just, I highly recommend taking this course.
That's
and
awesome.
I mean, it's only a year, so, like, it's not too long either. So
yeah, you can do it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, looking back on your experience, is there anything that you wish that you had known before starting the program?
I guess maybe there is a little bit of, I know that it's not, like, the correct term, but I like to say poking, like, when we have to, like, give an injection or something. There is a little bit of that, not like a crazy amount. But I thought that when I coming into this course that I would be completely, like, free of doing anything. Yeah, no poking allowed from you. But going down and doing the internship and everything, there's a little bit, which is, it's fine. Like,
yeah,
but
no, but that's good for people who are applying, right? For them to know, right? Yes. And so now, looking forward, what do you hope to accomplish in your career as a veterinary assistant? What would you say your goals are?
I think just my goal right at this moment is to just be the best, like, vet assistant that I can be. I don't think I'm going to go, but again, my thoughts may change in however many years. But right now, I think just sticking with the veterinary assistant and being the best that I can be here is the goal that I'm aiming for right now. Maybe if in a couple years, I might decide to go for like vet tech maybe. But I'm thinking like, I think I found where I want to be. And it's as a vet assistant.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Jenna, we fully believe in you. And please know that your hard work and help is making the world a better place. I know that we've just kind of scratched the surface today with your awesomeness and kindness, but I just wanted to thank you so much for joining us today. We are so, so lucky to have you as a graduate and an employee of Tartan Tails Veterinary Hospital. You're helping pets and people who love them. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
And a thank you to our dedicated listeners for tuning in and joining us today. If you or someone you know is interested in learning more about the Veterinary Assistant Program, there are still a few spots left for our next class starting in September. You can check it out at sbcacollege.ca or reach out to us at college@sbcans.ca. And if you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe, give us 5 stars, and share so other animal lovers can find us. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any platform that has the word podcast in it. But hope you all have a great day. And in case you haven't heard it yet today, you are amazing. Cheers.